We saw in the last video that there's a whole lot of things we don't know about grades at a big scale. So now we're going to talk about grades at a small scale, a single assignment, or even a single question on an assignment that you're being asked to grade. We're going to talk first about this idea of requirements elicitation. In software engineering, we talk about this concept of eliciting requirements from consumers, with the idea that the client generally doesn't know how to articulate what they want. They're able to say, that's it, that's not it, typically, that's not it, and tell us that we got it wrong, but have much more difficulty telling us how we got it wrong. In my experience, although I know no formal studies to show this is also true of grading, this tends to be true of instructors. They will tell you you didn't grade it right. They may even be able to tell you how you should have graded it, but they generally have a more difficult time identifying what their actual requirements in the grading process were. So in this module, we're going to try to give you three broad categories you should consider as you're trying to elicit the requirements of your supervisor about how they want the grades to be done. The first thing to understand here is the different assessment types. Some of these are standard terms. Formative and summative are used a lot. The others are more abstract terms and aren't always used in this phrase, but these kinds of assessments are generally present. The goal of a formative assessment is to teach. We give an assessment for the purpose of you learning through doing the assessment, learning what you know and don't know, learning from the process of doing it. A lot of programming assignments and CS courses are of a formative character primarily. We're hoping you'll learn by doing. A summative assessment is trying to measure what you know, help you get that grade that we're shooting for in what we're doing. Okay. Now, often in computing, because assessments, particularly in mid to upper level programming courses, can be very large, it's common to try to use the same assessment for both a formative and summative process, which leads to various problems, as we talked about some last week, about the challenge of graded assignments on which you have help. But these are not the only kind of assignment types, although they're the most commonly discussed. We also use assignments simply to motivate, as either that carrot or stick, if you will, that thing that is trying to move people to where they're going to go. By the time you reach students reach university, they have more than a decade of experience being told to care about grades. And so offering point values associated with things can be a powerful motivation and direction. Telling people what they need to do, that they need to do them, even telling them how much focus they should put on different things. And then sometimes we want guidance, typically for either the teacher or the student. And what do I mean by guidance? We think about something for the student, a pretest, typically is neither formative nor summative. I'm not trying to teach you anything, I'm not trying to measure what you've learned. I'm trying to tell you, are you ready? I'm trying to give you guidance in your decision. Sometimes also the teacher wants guidance. Do I need another week on this material? Are they ready to move on or do I need to stay here? So some of these guidance assessments are trying to give guidance back to the teacher or to the students to try to help them make decisions in the middle of the course. All of these assessment types exist and they'll be graded differently. A formative assessment will want to give a lot of feedback, want to help you continue growing and learning as a student. A summative assessment, I really want a number out the other end. Okay? A motivational assessment, I want to effectively either say you did good enough or no, you didn't. Okay? And I sort of this binary flag of have you met the bar or not is often our goal here. Also, for guidance, we typically want to sort of have an advance, an idea of the different branches we will go, and give a recommendation, clear evidence where we need to be. Okay? And so each of these has a very different kind of grading that might be expected. As you start to elicit from the person creating the assessment what their goal was in the assessment, it can help you understand how you're supposed to grade it. In grading, there's a conflict between giving a fair grade and an accurate grade. A fair grade means nobody that knows less got more points, right? There's a sort of fairness characteristic. If five people did the same, they all got the same number. An accurate grade means the grade we result in is a correct measure of something. Although, as we learned last video, it's not really clear whether we're trying to measure understanding or time management or Sure, it could be your understanding, we could do your time management, or it could be your social skills, right? We have different things that can contribute to a good grade. And, but whatever it is we're measuring, let's assume accuracy means we've measured it correctly. Our number truly represents your ability in this thing. A fair grade means that nobody got worse than they deserve. And a perfectly accurate grade is also fair, but a perfectly accurate grade is almost impossible to achieve. A highly accurate grade may be very unfair. A simple example of that is to reuse a test. If I am willing to invest enough time to make a highly accurate test, I may want to use it again and again because it took a lot of energy to create that. To me, a highly accurate grade for the people who haven't seen the test before. But if that test has leaked to some people, it may be very unfair because those people know exactly what to expect and it's not measuring the right thing at all for them. So a fair test tries to minimize the error per person. An accurate test tries to minimize the overall error. And this may not be immediately clear to you, but it will change to some degree some of your grading practices. In particular, things like benefit of the doubt and how you handle situations that are a little more complicated will vary depending on whether you're shooting more for perf high accuracy or for high fairness. Let's consider if you were grading just a single question, a single 10-point question on an exam. And you spend a lot of time looking at a student, you create this probability distribution function of what they know. About 50% chance they deserve a 5. They understood some, they didn't understand some. Based on your rubric, they probably deserve 5. But there's a small chance, not quite as high, but still a reasonable chance they deserve an 8. Maybe they just misunderstood a few things, did it a little bit wrong, and they deserve an 8 on this. There's a small chance they were bluffing effectively. They were trying to blow smoke and did a pretty good job at it. What grade should you give this student? Turns out that I know people that will suggest 3, 5, 6, and 8. Okay? Range 5 and 6 is fairly nuanced and probably not worth spending time on in this video. But some people are trying to sort of say, what's the most likely? Either the median or the mean, but what is the most likely score they deserve? Other people are going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I have this sort of concept here is it's the job of the teacher to prove you don't know things, to show we have to take points away. And I know people that will say this sort of all or nothing approach. You have failed to show me you know enough, and so I'm going to give you a lower grade because you failed to show you know it. There are reasons to like all of these, right? This sort of pessimistic, I'm trying to guard against bluffing and make sure you've actually shown you know it. This generous, it might have been my fault, so I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Expectation maximizing in different forms. We have faculty who believe all of these things. It's not clear which one is right or wrong, but it is clear if multiple people are grading assignment with different opinions, they'll end up with very different grades on average. And so if you can understand from your instructor during requirement solicitation, what's the purpose of the assessment? How much are they prioritizing fairness over accuracy? And how do they want you to deal with these uncertain cases? Are you supposed to give them the benefit of the doubt or require them to show something to you or something in between? These can help you understand what those requirements are that is likely your supervisor wasn't able to articulate, but nonetheless sort of had in the background for you to elicit from them.